Hey everyone, welcome back. Ready for another deep dive? This time, we're going to focus on becoming better fly casting students. Kind of like creating our own personal training program, but for our casting arm.
Yeah, and to guide us, we've got this awesome fly fishing instructor journal.
Oh, cool.
It's packed with articles covering everything from the absolute basics of casting to avoiding injuries and even like the mental side of the game. It's amazing how much goes into a good cast, right?
I know, right? I've always kind of thought of it like this graceful dance. But I mean, there's definitely technique involved, which, you know, I'm always looking to sharpen.
Oh, for sure.
Sometimes I feel like I hit a plateau with my progress.
Well, what's cool about what we're going to look at today is there are actually techniques you can work on even when you're not on the water.
Really?
Yeah, like those aha moments you can have just thinking about your cast. We might even discover some surprising connections between fly casting and things you wouldn't expect. Like driving.
Hold on, driving. Okay, now that's a curveball. I got to hear more about that.
It's all about the mechanics, you know, the smooth movements and stuff, but we'll get to that later. First, let's dig into some fundamentals. This article by Bill and Jay Gamble outlines like 5 essentials of fly casting that apply no matter what style you're using.
Okay, I'm all ears. What's the first one? The foundation.
Well, this one might surprise you. It's all about pausing at the end of your stroke.
Pausing? Really?
Yep. It lets the line straighten out fully and properly load the rod. You're basically storing energy before you unleash it.
Wait, pausing. I always thought it was about keeping that smooth, like continuous motion going. Why is stopping so important?
Think of it like drawing back a bow before you shoot an arrow, you know?
Oh, okay, yeah.
You need that moment of stillness to build up the energy for a powerful release. Same idea with fly casting. That pause allows the rod to bend, store energy, and then boom. It transfers that energy to the line and propels it forward. It's like physics in action, you know.
Okay, I think I'm starting to get the picture. It's like that split second of stillness before a dancer leaps into the air, right? So how long should this pause be? Is there like a magic number?
Well, the length of the pause actually depends on how much line you have, you know, beyond the tip of your rod. The more line you've got in the air, the longer the pause needs to be to allow it all to straighten out.
Gotcha. So more line, longer pause.
Yeah.
It's like giving the line time to catch up. Okay, so what about those other essentials?
The Gamels also talk about things like managing the slack in your line, keeping your rod tip moving in a straight path, varying the length of your stroke depending on what you're casting, and applying power smoothly. It's all about control and precision, avoiding those jerky movements.
Okay, I'm definitely sensing a theme here. It's not about muscling the line out there. It's about finesse and timing.
Exactly. You got it. And speaking of finesse, let's talk injury prevention. There's this article by Dr. Gary Eaton that really dives into the difference between conditioning and training.
Injury prevention. Good point. I'll admit, I've been so focused on just, you know, perfecting my technique that I haven't really given much thought to conditioning. What does that even look like for fly fishing?
That's where it gets really interesting. Conditioning is all about preparing your body for those specific movements and demands of casting. It's not necessarily about picking up a rod and practicing, but more about building strength and coordination that'll support your casting. Think of it like cross-training for your favorite sport.
Oh, okay, I see. So give me some examples. Like, let's say I'm stuck inside on a rainy day. What are some conditioning activities I could do at home to prep for my next fishing trip?
You could try things like stretching, or maybe practice your casting motion without a rod, even doing some dancing. These all help build muscle memory and coordination, which will make your casting smoother and more efficient when you're actually out on the water.
But dancing, huh?
Yeah.
Not what I was expecting. But I can see how the fluidity of movement would translate. So conditioning sets the stage, and then the training takes over once we're actually out there with a rod line, right?
You got it. Training's where you refine your technique, work on your accuracy, and really dial in your casts on the water.
This is starting to feel like a much more holistic approach to fly casting. You know, it's not just about waving a rod around. It's about preparing your body and mind for the whole experience. So what about this mental game you mentioned earlier? That sounds intriguing.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Eaton also talks about this concept of overtraining. It's basically intentionally pushing your limits in a controlled way to break through plateaus and boost your confidence.
Now, this is where it gets really interesting. Overtraining. What does that look like in the context of fly casting?
Well, imagine you're used to casting a 5-weight line. To overtrain, you might practice with a heavier line, like a 9-weight. This challenges your muscles in a new way and forces them to adapt and get stronger.
So by making things harder in practice, I'm actually making things easier when I go back to my regular setup. It's like boot camp for my casting arm.
Exactly. It's kind of like weightlifting, you know? You gradually increase the weight you're lifting to build muscle. But just like with any kind of training, it's important to listen to your body and not overdo it. Dr. Eaton really stresses the importance of taking breaks, you know, giving yourself time to recover to prevent injuries.
That's a crucial point. Pushing your limits is great, but not at the expense of your health, for sure. Okay, so we've covered the fundamentals, conditioning, and the mental game. Now I'm dying to hear about this connection between fly casting and driving. You can't leave me hanging.
All right. Well, Floyd Dean, a certified casting instructor, presents this fascinating analogy where he compares the movements of a skilled fly caster to the smooth acceleration and controlled stops of a chauffeur. It's all about finding that same level of fluidity and precision.
Wait a minute, are you saying that my daily commute could actually be secretly improving my fly casting? That's mind-blowing.
Well, it's about the mechanics and the feeling, you know? Imagine that moment when you're gently easing off the brake pedal right before coming to a complete stop in your car. That same relaxed grip is what prevents your line from collapsing at the end of a casting stroke. It's subtle, but it makes a big difference.
Okay, now I'm starting to see the connection. It's about that smooth transfer of energy and avoiding any sudden jerks or stops. But how does this translate into actually practicing my casting?
Well, Dean suggests visualizing a bottle flying off the car hood, like a perfectly formed loop. He even recommends practicing with a friend where you accelerate and brake smoothly while observing their head movement in the rearview mirror to get a feel for that controlled stop. It's all about translating those sensations to your casting arm.
Now, that's a visual I won't soon forget. I love how this encourages us to find those, unexpected connections and apply them to our casting. It's a whole new way of thinking about it.
It's about being open to those unconventional learning methods and really understanding those deeper principles, you know? And speaking of learning, the next article we'll look at dives into the journey of becoming a certified fly casting instructor.
Oh, wow. Okay, let's shift gears a bit. This sounds like a whole other level of expertise. What kind of insights can we get from this journey?
Well, Ron Pettigana, who went through the whole process of becoming a certified instructor, shares his experience, and it really highlights the value of seeking out expert guidance and embracing the learning process, even when it gets frustrating.
Oh, I can relate to that. There are definitely days when I feel like chucking my rod into the lake. What's one key takeaway from Pettigana's experience? What really stuck with him?
One of the most surprising things he learned was that his back cast was actually, quote, too pretty. It lacked the power needed for a truly effective cast. It was a real humbling realization that forced him to completely rethink his technique.
That's so interesting. It's easy to get caught up in making things look perfect, but sometimes they can actually work against us. In this case, a beautiful back cast was actually hindering his overall casting. So becoming an instructor isn't just about being a good caster yourself. It's about understanding those nuances and being able to communicate them effectively to others.
Exactly. And it's not easy. It involves this super rigorous testing process that goes beyond just demonstrating your casting skills. You got to show a deep understanding of the mechanics, your ability to teach, and your skill in analyzing and correcting errors.
Wow, it sounds challenging, but also incredibly rewarding. It's inspiring to see that dedication. Okay, so what else can we learn about creative teaching and learning techniques? What other approaches are out there?
Well, there's Les Rosenthal, another certified instructor, and he uses this creative acronym, Scratch and Sniff, to help students grasp the key principles of fly casting. He uses these really vivid images and relates these principles to everyday objects and experiences, which makes them so much easier to remember and apply.
Scratch and sniff. I love it. It's catchy, memorable, and a little quirky, which, perfectly suits fly fishing, in my opinion. What are some of the most memorable examples he uses?
One that stands out is soap on a rope, for understanding how important it is to manage slack in your line. Think about trying to slide a bar of soap across the floor with a loose rope. It just wouldn't work. You need that taut line, just like in fly casting, to transfer energy effectively.
Right, slack is the enemy of a good cast. Okay, what about this sniff part? What does that stand for?
ESNA focuses more on style considerations, things like your stance, grip, and the equipment you choose. Rosenthal really emphasizes that there's no one right way to cast. It's about finding what works best for you and the specific situation you're in.
I love that. It's like learning the basic steps of a dance and then, developing your own personal style and expression.
Exactly. There's room for individuality and experimentation within those fundamental principles.
I'm amazed by how all these seemingly separate ideas, all tie together to create this richer understanding of fly casting. It's not just about that physical act of casting. It's about body awareness, mental focus, and finding learning methods that truly resonate with you. It's almost like a journey of self-discovery.
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of this whole deep dive, you know? It's about empowering you to become your own best fly casting student, to really take ownership of your learning and progression.
It really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like we're giving our listeners the tools to become their own casting coach.
Yeah, for sure. And the cool thing is, you know, there's no one right way to do it. Rosenthal really stresses that. It's about finding what works for you.
Right, right.
Some people learn best by visualizing, you know.
Yeah.
Others by actually feeling those movements. What about you? How do you learn best?
I'm a big fan of analogies. Yeah. Like that driving one we talked about earlier. Dang. That really clicked for me, made those mechanics crystal clear.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of analogies, remember Rosenthal's antenna ball on a dragster analogy? It perfectly illustrates overtraining.
Oh, yeah. That one was hard to forget.
You got it. So remember how we talked about pushing those limits in practice?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, think about it. The antenna bends back as the dragster accelerates.
Right.
And then flings the ball forward when the car brakes.
Okay, yeah, I see where you're going.
So how does that connect to overtraining again?
Well, I'm thinking it's got to be something about that, like, buildup of energy, right?
It's all about controlled power, you know?
Yeah.
The dragster needs to accelerate smoothly to build up the energy for that powerful launch. And it's the same with your casting. Pushing yourself in practice helps build that strength and coordination you need for those more challenging casts.
So it's not about, like, being reckless or risking injury. It's more about strategically pushing boundaries to, like, unlock those new levels of skill. It's kind of like leveling up in a video game.
Exactly. Leveling up, that's a great way to put it. And just like in a video game, pacing yourself is key, you know? Taking breaks, prioritizing recovery, like Dr. Eden was saying, it's crucial to avoid burnout and injury.
Right, right. No need to rush into a casting injury, that's for sure. Slow and steady wins the race. Or in this case, perfects the cast. So we've covered a ton of techniques and strategies here. What stands out to you as the most important takeaway?
You know, it's fascinating to me how much emphasis there is on really understanding the why behind the how.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's not enough to just copy what a good caster does. To truly master it, you need to grasp those underlying principles.
Totally agree. It's like the difference between, like, memorizing a recipe and understanding, you know, the science of baking.
That's a great analogy.
Once you get those principles, then you can adapt and improvise, create your own unique style.
You got it. And that's what makes it so exciting, right? It's not just about achieving those perfect casts. It's about that constant learning, that experimentation, pushing those boundaries.
Speaking of pushing boundaries, let's go back to Floyd Dean's driving analogy for a second.
Okay, yeah.
If we can connect fly casting to something like driving, what other seemingly unrelated activities might offer some insights? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What do you think?
That's a great question. What if we think about activities that require that same kind of precision, timing, and an understanding of physics?
Oh, I like where you're going with this.
Right. So what comes to mind?
What about, like, archery?
Oh, yeah.
You have that same, you know, draw back, build tension, and then release energy with control.
Exactly. Or even playing a musical instrument.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Think about the coordination, the rhythm, the muscle memory that goes into playing a complex piece of music.
I see.
Those skills could absolutely translate to fly casting.
Mind blown. I'm already seeing the connections. I bet our listeners could come up with some really innovative analogies if they, you know, put their minds to it.
Absolutely. I think the world is full of these little learning opportunities if we just open our eyes to them. And that's what makes fly casting and learning in general so rewarding.
It's about tapping into that curiosity.
Yeah.
And constantly seeking new ways to, you know, deepen our understanding and enjoyment of the things we love.
Well said. And speaking of deepening our understanding, let's circle back to Les Rosenthal's scratch and sniff technique.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, he uses those vivid images and acronyms to make learning stick.
All right, bring on the mnemonics. Yeah. I'm always a fan of a good acronym.
Me too. And Rosenthal is a master at bringing these concepts to life, you know, like the scratch part. It breaks down the mechanics of casting with each letter representing a different principle.
Scratch and sniff. That's brilliant. Catchy, memorable, and a little quirky, just like fly fishing itself.
Right.
Give me some highlights.
Okay, so the S in scratch stands for soap on a rope.
Soap on a rope.
Yep. It highlights the importance of minimizing slack in the line.
That's perfect. I can already picture myself explaining that to a beginner.
Right.
It's so much more engaging than just saying, don't let the line go slack, you know?
Exactly. And the C stands for curveball. It reminds us that a straight rod tip path leads to more efficient and accurate casts. Rosenthal compares it to a baseball pitcher. You know, a fastball, which travels in a straight line, is going to be faster and more accurate than a curveball.
Oh, I love that.
Right.
So relatable. Okay, so what about the sniff part? What does that cover?
Sniffa focuses more on the finer points of your cast, things like your stance, your grip, your elbow position, and your choice of equipment.
Okay.
These are the elements that contribute to, individual style and comfort.
So it's kind of like the difference between, learning those basic dance steps and developing your own personal flair and expression.
Precisely. And Rosenthal really emphasizes that there's no one right way to cast.
Right.
There are a lot of different approaches that can be effective. It all depends on the angler, their equipment, and, the fishing situation.
Okay, that makes sense. So scratch and sniff is more than just a memory aid. It's really like a framework for understanding the fundamentals,
Yeah.
but also allows for that individual variation and creativity.
Exactly. It encourages students to critically examine their own casting style and experiment with different techniques to find what truly works for them.
This deep dive has been incredible. We've covered so much ground from the biomechanics of casting to the psychology of learning, and even the importance of finding those creative analogies in mnemonics.
It's been a really fun exploration, and I hope our listeners are feeling, empowered to take their fly casting to the next level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's okay to hit those bumps along the way. If you ever feel stuck or like you're just not progressing, think back to Ron Pettigana's experience. Even those seasoned casters, they can benefit from an expert's eye sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. It's so easy to develop those bad habits without even realizing it.
Yeah.
Or to, miss those subtle things that are holding you back. Having someone with a trained eye, observe your casting can be so valuable.
Yeah, it's like having a swing coach for your golf game, but for fly casting.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need that outside perspective to break through those plateaus and reach that next level.
You got it. And hey, speaking of pushing those boundaries, remember Floyd Dean's driving analogy?
Oh, yeah.
If we can find connections between fly casting and something like driving,
Right.
imagine what other unexpected activities might hold hidden insights.
Now, there's a thought-provoking question for our listeners.
Right.
Could the precision and timing of, a skilled archer translate to a more controlled casting stroke? Or
Interesting.
maybe, the fluid movements of a Tai Chi master could inspire a more graceful approach to fly casting?
I love that. The possibilities are kind of endless, aren't they?
I think so.
The key is to stay curious, to be open to those unexpected connections, because those are the things that can really deepen our understanding and ultimately, enhance our skills out on the water.
Yeah, it all comes back to that idea of being a self-sufficient student, taking charge of our learning, exploring those different resources, and always striving to refine our technique.
Absolutely. And remember, Les Rosenthal and his Scratch and Sniff acronym.
Oh, yeah. How can we forget scratch and sniff?
It's such a great example of using vivid imagery and those relatable examples to make learning stick.
Right. Make it fun and memorable.
Exactly.
And by, finding ways to make those key principles stick, we can actually apply them consistently and effectively out on the water.
Well said. So, whether you're a seasoned angler or you're just starting out, remember that mastering fly casting, it's an ongoing process.
Oh, for sure.
It's a journey of exploration and discovery. Embrace those challenges, celebrate those triumphs, and never stop seeking out new ways to, deepen your understanding and enjoyment of this amazing sport.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, that's all for today's deep dive. We hope you enjoyed this exploration of fly casting techniques and learning strategies.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And until next time, tight lines and happy casting.